Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, grab your Bibles from your pew or your own Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, as we will look at that not only this week, but in the couple of weeks to follow. It's been said that we live at a time, in an era, where more and more people, especially young people, struggle deeply with depression and anxiety. Depression, anxiety, and fear seems to be a prevalent reality within the context of the culture we live in. Now, there can be any number of reasons for that. But that anxiety, that depression, that fear is often displayed in the scriptures as darkness. We'll see in just a moment, Psalm 107 talks about those who sat in darkness as in chains. And we recognize and we realize that this reality is present within our culture, but it's also present within our families and within our lives. And it can be any number of different sources, as we will see. And the scriptures have this theme that runs throughout them, the theme of darkness and light. We see it from the very beginning where God says, let there be light, because over the whole earth there was darkness. And God spoke into the darkness. And in actually the Hebrew, what that is not only is it darkness as in without light, but it is chaos. That there was chaos or darkness or a sense of confusion over the earth. And God spoke light and clarity into that reality. And this theme of darkness and light run throughout the scriptures. And they are central, if you will, to the gospel message. The message of Christmas, the message of Christ coming into this world. And we see it in these two passages that Russ read for us. And it is fitting that it is, not only because it is the reflective light of the fullness of God coming in the flesh, but we, in our day and age, we celebrate Christmas, and one of the ways we celebrate Christmas is with light. We put out lights, whether that be the light on our Christmas trees, whether that be the light that dangles from our roof as we put life and limb together to hang our Christmas decorations on our rooftop. That's my responsibility. Or whether that be the single candle that is in the window so often as we travel along and we see that light in darkness is one of the ways in which we celebrate. But light and darkness have very different meanings for the person who's a believer and for the person who is not. But this passage in Isaiah speaks to this glorious light that comes to those who are sitting in darkness. And as the scriptures have already been read for us, would you just bow your heads and pray as the Holy Spirit leads us in this time. Father, we're thankful that the Bible isn't just an abstract reality, but it is a reality that speaks to our lives where we're at. And many of us, if we're honest, do struggle. Whether that struggle simply be the time change which makes night come earlier and quicker, whether it be the gloom of the clouds and the lack of sunshine in the winter, it seems. Whatever it might be, whether it is a depression that comes from the physical brokenness of our lives or from the family realities that we wrestle with. We thank you that the gospel speaks into that chaos and brings forth light, that Jesus came into that reality. And we thank you for it. because that is the hope of the gospel, not only in this life, but for eternal life as well. So, Father, wherever we may be, I pray that you would speak your truth, the truth of your word, the truth of your word that became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and transform our life in this present age and for eternity as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we use light in our Christmas displays, and one of my favorite night in growing up in Pakistan was Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve was actually different and special for us, and that was because on Christmas Eve, the section that my grandmother lived in, we'd always go to my grandmother's house for Christmas Eve night and Christmas Day, was called Christian Town. And living in a predominantly Muslim country and city, this was the place where predominantly most of the Christians lived, hence the name Christian Town. And in the middle of the road, in the middle of this little section of town, was Christian Town Road, off of which my grandmother lived. And on Christmas Eve, everybody would light up their houses with Christmas lights. Now, the question might be, why not do it earlier? Because nobody owned lights in Pakistan. You had to rent them. And you couldn't afford to light your houses or your trees or whatever after Thanksgiving. Not that we had Thanksgiving there, because that's an American holiday. But they could only afford it on one night. So all Christmas Eve day, people would be putting up lights that were rented. And then, boom, they would just come on. And then about 10:30 would be the Christmas parade that would lead up to the church with donkeys and camels and the whole schmear that went on. And it was a glorious picture of light. We often enjoy lights at Christmas as part of our decoration, but that means something and ought to mean something different for the non-believer and for the believer. For the non-believer, it's a respite. We enjoy the lights, but then we pack them away. And when we pack them away after Christmas, we realize that it was simply a moment where we felt comforted. It's kind of like a nightlight for a child who's afraid of the dark. They recognize that it is dark, and that nightlight gives them a sense or a semblance of hope or a semblance of comfort, if you will. But it's simply a semblance. For the believer, using light in our decoration should be a true reflection of the gospel, that Christ came to earth, that light came and brought with it life and light into the darkness in which we live. For the non-believer, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For the believers, we have seen that. We recognize that the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to that reality. And so our celebration should not simply be present and then packed away. Our celebration should be a lifelong, day-to-day reflection of the fact that Christ entered the darkness of this world as light and has transformed us. And brothers and sisters, I believe that for our culture, for our country, for our world, for our families and for our friends who are not believers, this is a true gospel message. Isaiah 9 2 simply says this, and you can look at it all around us today. A people who walked in darkness. A people who walked in darkness. have seen a great light. A people who walked in darkness, those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. And if we look at the reality of our world, even the places that are most lit up, Las Vegas, what do we call it? Sin City. That there is a reality of darkness that is even greater than the lights that they can put up. But the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it enters the world, it dispels darkness. But the Bible tells us that often people like to live in darkness. That people actually like to go towards the darkness because that's where their hearts are. They don't want to deal with their sin. They don't want to repent of their sin. They enjoy their sinfulness. While others, even believers, will sometimes move towards the darkness because they want to hide from God. Psalm 139 verse 12 says this. The psalmist says, If I say, surely the darkness shall come, it shall cover me, and the light shall become like night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light to you. And sometimes we think that we can run from God and hide, and all the time the light of God is present and he sees all. And instead of condemnation, that's actually good news. Because as God begins to help us to see the reality of our life and our need for him as we sit in darkness, that's when the glory of Christ and the gospel message begins to enter into that reality and bring light. Because the light, the darkness that we talk about is not simply a physical reality, it's a spiritual reality. Just look at how the Apostle John writes this in his first epistle. What is the cause of spiritual darkness? 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Therefore, those who are in darkness are those that are separated from the glory and the radiance of God. The Apostle Paul speaks of this spiritual darkness in his epistle to the Ephesians when he says in chapter 5, for at one time you were also in darkness, but now you're in the light in the Lord. In Colossians, he picks up the same theme. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The psalmist in Psalm 107 talks about some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death and in a prison in afflictions and in irons. For they had rebelled against the word of the Lord and had spurned the counsel of the Most High. And so he, God, bowed their hearts down with hard labor and they fell down with none to help them. What a wonderful description of the culture and the world in which we live. But there, by the grace of God, go you and I. We're not brought into light because we're better than they are. We're brought into light because of the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there are many in our world and many in our family who this Christmas, though their lights will be brighter on their houses than yours, the reality of their soul is that they might be sitting in deep darkness. And as much as we celebrate the Christmas season with all of the festivities, many people who celebrate are walking in darkness. Do you realize that the most money spent on Christmas and Christmas decorations is actually in Japan, where there are no believers, but they celebrate Christmas? And just a side fact, what they eat at their Christmas celebration is Kentucky Fried Chicken. But they celebrate Christmas without Christ at its center. And the reality is that in that beautiful display of light, there is a greater darkness that they can't dispel with the lights that they use for decoration. But for the believer, the reality is the opposite, that Christ enters into our darkness and brings forth the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in the gospel. He saves and he transforms, and therefore outwardly we celebrate an inward reality. The other way around, there is no hope. An outward lighting cannot bring forth light into the darkness of the soul. But the soul that has been made to have light is reflects that truth in its celebrations. But darkness is also not simply a spiritual darkness, but it's an eternal darkness. And brothers and sisters, before the Lord Jesus comes, there's work for us to do, because many are sitting in darkness, and for them, that darkness will become a permanent reality. And we are sent to those who are sitting and living in darkness. Here's the judgment that comes from that darkness. Matthew 8, 11 through 12, Jesus speaking to unbelieving Israel. He says, I tell you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into utter darkness. Matthew 22, 13, the parable of the wedding feast and the king. And then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into an outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jude verse 6 says this, the angels who did not stay without their own in their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he kept them in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of that great day. 2 Peter 2:17. These are waterless springs, talking about false teachers, mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness is reserved. And how sad to think that many will celebrate Christmas outwardly, but are actually living in that darkness that is current now and will be for eternity, a place where God will not be present. And there will be utter darkness and the gnashing of teeth. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, as we think about darkness and light, does our heart break for those who are still in darkness? Do we recognize the reality of their fear and their anxiety? Do we recognize and realize that Christ has the power to transform that into light through the gospel message? Because here's the reality. We have two responsibilities. Because we who trust in Christ can recognize in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, that those walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. And we see in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. And we have two responses as believers. And I want to couch those responses in our vision statement. Because we've been seeking to help us to live out that vision statement. What's our vision statement? We pray to be a people who declare, delight in, and display the glory of God through his amazing grace in Jesus Christ. That's our vision statement as a church. We pray that we would be a people who declare, delight in and display the glory of God through his amazing grace in Jesus Christ. So what's that got to do with this? Believer, you who have the light of Christ, to you who the Holy Spirit has opened the eyes of his heart, the first response is rejoice. Delight. Delight in the fact that you no longer sit in darkness. Let your celebrations be reflective outwardly of an inward reality and rest in the joy that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God came and entered your darkness and brought the light of the gospel and opened your eyes to see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be a transformative celebration. Therefore, this Christmas, as we sing and as we read the scriptures and as we enjoy all of the realities of our celebration, they should come from a heart that recognizes and knows the depth of darkness from which we have been saved and the glory of the light of Christ. And I would ask us, brothers and sisters, that we need to delight. But we need to be careful that our delight doesn't simply come from outward adornments. It doesn't simply come from the decorations. It doesn't simply come from the outward realities. But that we enjoy those, but we be still and know. We be still and know God. We be still and know and look into the face of the Christ child and see the light of the world there. And so our first response should be, more than anybody else in all the world, we should delight. We should rejoice in the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then our second response is an outward response. And that outward response is we need to look and realize that God has given us this light. And this is what the gospel says as Jesus speaks. Again, Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I.e., that as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his light, the glory of God in the face of Christ, now resides in us. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure, that is the glory of God, the light of the Lord. We have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Therefore, the gospel message that has impacted your life is not simply for yourselves. It's not simply for Westminster. We have been planted by the sovereign God in this place to be the light of the gospel to others. And the light of the gospel, the source of it, is not us. It's not our goodness. It's not our the way we dress. It's not our habits. It's not any outward reality. It is an inward reality where Christ shines in us. And brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ Jesus is in you, and he desires to shine out into the darkness, to your neighbors and to your families and to our community. And for far too long, Christians are sitting there placing their light under a bushel and hiding. And it's time for us, for the days are short, to recognize and realize that there are many sitting in the gloom of darkness. And the light of the gospel has been given to us. And it's time for us to stop hiding our light under a bushel. For when we hide our light under a bushel, what we're hiding is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope for those who sit in darkness. Now that's the more challenging reality, isn't it? It's fine to sing all the Christmas carols, it's fine to delight. But our prayer as a church is that we may also declare and display. That we will declare with our mouths and display with our lives the glory of God through his amazing grace to us in Jesus Christ. And so not only are we called to delight, and I hope that we do, but Christmas is a glorious opportunity for us to display and to declare that Christ has come, the light of the world, to a place of darkness, to grant the hope of the gospel to those who yet sit in darkness. I would encourage us all, we've been starting our 3D groups. Our 3D groups come off of our vision statement to declare, delight in, and display the glory of God. That's hence 3D. And not all of us are involved in that for any number of different reasons, including COVID. But we, if you would like the book that we're using, that we're following, it's very simple. And it's asking us to do some very simple things that I think are so wonderful for us to be able to do, especially at Christmas. How do we display and how do we declare? The little book that we're using uses the acronym BELLS, B-E-L-L-S, BELLS, B-E-L-L-S, BELLS. The B stands for bless. And so I would ask you, as you seek to declare the gospel, as you seek to display it, ask God to send you to places where you can begin to bless people. Blessing might be an encouraging word. Blessing might be an opportunity to encourage somebody who is struggling. A blessing might be a small gift to somebody. A blessing might be the opportunity to simply open a door. Blessing might be an introduction to a stranger that you don't know. Blessing might be listening. Blessing might be serving somebody in a wonderful way. Asking God to use that opportunity to bless. And as you bless, that God would bring forth the light of the gospel through you. The E is for eat. Eat with somebody. They actually ask us to eat with three people. Somebody in your church that you don't know, somebody in your church that you do know, and then somebody who is not a believer, eat with them. And that's not a four-course meal. It might be a cup of coffee. It might be a sandwich. It might be sharing the lunch table with somebody where you work and beginning to develop relationships over eating, because we see Jesus often developing relationships over eating. Christmas parties are a great time to eat, but they're also a great time to begin to be present with people in their realities as you share the good news of the gospel. The first L is learn of Christ. Begin to read through the gospels and see how Jesus interacted with people in a most natural of ways. Who he encouraged, who he challenged. How he interacted with women and how he interacted with tax collectors and how he interacted with sinners and how he interacted with Samaritans. And what is God calling us to do and learn of and from Jesus? The second L is listen to the Holy Spirit. That's a hard one during the Christmas season, isn't it? Because there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of distractions. And it's important for us to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you to those places where you can bless. To those places where you can have a conversation. To those places where God is already at work and he's simply bringing you to bring the light of the gospel. And I would say that that's one of the harder things to do, is to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit seeks to lead you. And the S is simply this: begin to consider yourself a sent one, a missionary, that God has sent you as a light bearer, a gospel bearer, to show forth the light of Christ to others. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission calls us to go into all the world and declare, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach others. And so as a sent one, your understanding of your responsibility in being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ shouldn't be an odious task. It should be the most natural thing, that wherever you walk, the light of the gospel should shine in you and through you to everybody who's around. Through your words, through your actions, through your attitudes that are reflected in the ways you interact with people. There are places where that is easy, and there's places where that is harder. And both of those are challenging, but they may war against one another. And so I would ask you and challenge you, as light bearers, are you hiding your light under a bushel? What might that bushel be? That bushel might be your attitudes and the ways you interact on social media, where in those interactions, people see more of you than they see of Jesus Christ. People are driven more into darkness by your anger and your attitudes reflected in the ways in which you speak. They may actually be driven to despair instead of to hope. Christian, it should not be so. Your heart should reflect the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean we don't speak truth in love. But how we do it and the ways in which we do it, we need to think about that. In other places, we need to begin to ask the question, how do I begin to interact with people who are naturally in my life? How do I begin to share the good news of the gospel with them? How do I begin to speak light into their darkness as I begin to declare the Lord Jesus Christ? In one place, we have to cease in order for the bushel to come up. In the other place, we have to act in ways that are godly and appropriate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For some reason or another, God has chosen to not only bring us out of darkness, the dominion of darkness, into light, but he has sent you and I into the dark world with the light of Jesus Christ. If you want to know why he chose to bring people to saving knowledge of him through the likes of you and I, ask him when you get to heaven. But the days are short until the Lord Jesus returns, and we need to be a people who enjoy the light and share the light of the gospel so that others who are sitting in darkness might see a great light and may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the glory of the light of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful that you have chosen to draw us out of darkness into light. We're thankful that you have opened the veil and helped us to see your glory. And because of Christ's sacrifice, we can stand in your presence and be transformed. So, Father, help us this Christmas season to delight, but help us also to display and declare to be a people who recognize that we have been given the light of Christ to share with others. And whether we be bold or whether we be timid, it matters not to you. For you will use us as you have given us opportunity and giftedness. Some will spread the word to a lot of people. Some will spread the word to one. Some will talk and share. Some will simply listen and love. We thank you, Lord, that within the body of Christ, there is not simply uniformity, but there's union with Christ and diversity in a wonderful way in which you desire to bring forth the truth of the gospel through us. And so we thank you that as you do that work through us, you're doing that work in us as well. You're helping us to enjoy the truth of the good news of the gospel. Father, there are many who sit in darkness, in anxiety, in fear, in despair. And they need the light of the gospel. And you have said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I pray, Father, that we would not only pray for harvest workers to go out, but we would be those very harvest people, light bearers, to go into the darkness, to show forth Christ to others, that they may come to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you rise?